Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see some of y'all back, and all of y'all back. That sounded crazy, didn't it? I know there's a few that's been missing, not feeling well, so we're glad you're definitely back, and we certainly missed y'all last week, that's for sure. We just wanted to be cautious about what we were doing, and so everybody seems to be getting better. I thought, well, let's just go ahead and meet together. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to take a look at John chapter 16 this morning. And if you remember what we've been talking about, the importance of being in person for church, because we have role to play in God's kingdom. And so we started with this a little bit with John chapter 15, and we were looking at the true vine issue. And if you remember what I was saying to you, we were talking about how Israel collectively as thought of themselves as one person, as the Son of God. They thought that they were the true vine. They thought they were the vine of God. And so what we talked about a couple weeks ago was the fact that Jesus said, I am the true vine. In other words, he's the true Son because he's the one who is obedient to the Father. He has revealed the Father. And then he has also been the one who demonstrated God's love to those who did not know him, obviously. And so that was very different than what Israel was doing. And so we're still kind of keeping that in the mindset because I want to talk to you this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit before the church. And so I want you to keep that in the background because if you remember in that same week we were saying, well, here's what happens when Jesus is the true vine, then we are the branches. The true vine is Jesus. In other words, he's the church. He is where the church is developed. He's the one who is the backbone of the church, and we're the branches, the sons and daughters who are connected to him. And so I want to keep all of that mindset going so that we can understand this a little bit more. And we're going to stick with some of this teaching because it's going to still connect. And if you remember in the book of John, I said to you that the book of John was written so that people might believe, so that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Because he was talking about all of the miracles and all of the ways that Jesus demonstrated that he is truly the Son of God. So all of this is going on in the background of everything that we're reading at this point. And so I was thinking this last week in particular, and over the course of some years, I'm just going to be honest with you that sometimes within the Christian ranks, I find myself thinking differently than other people do who follow the same God I do. I don't know if this is something that's ever happened to you. And then when I find myself in this situation, I get a little concerned because I want to make sure I'm not the one who's on the wrong side of things, if that makes sense. And so what I've noticed over the course of a couple of years here, there are a lot of people who are saying a lot of different things about what right and what is right and what is wrong. And we all say that we serve the same God. If you're like me, what happens is I end up thinking that one of us is wrong, or maybe we're both wrong, or I start trying to get confused, I guess, or confusing myself, I should say. And I usually call up a friend of mine and I'll say things to him. I'll say, listen, if Jesus is in me and the Spirit of God is in me and the Spirit of God is in what this guy is saying as well because he says he follows Jesus Christ, then shouldn't we be saying a lot of the same things? Has anybody ever thought about that? Those are things that are actually happening in our world right now where there's no doubt, I don't think if you've been in church for a long time, you realize that there are different moralities being established now. There's a different right and wrong that people seem to be wanting to go by. And there seems to be a certain amount of buy-in to what we, as me, I guess, someone who I trust that I'm full of the Spirit, would say, this is different than what God is telling us is right and wrong. And so there seems to be a buy-in that's going on. I'm just being very transparent with you. So if the same Spirit is in me that is in some of these other guys that is saying these things, then we have a problem because the Spirit seems to be divided against himself. Are y'all following me? And this is why I always tell you to read the Bible for yourself, because I'm telling you, this is going to be life for you. You have to read the Word of God yourself. And so this is something that messes me up. And so, for instance, we're starting to get into a new world where the church now seems to be concerned about whether or not we're making people feel bad about themselves for sinning. I'm just being honest with you. And if you remember last week, one of the things I said, if you watched online, was that the world hates those who follow Jesus Christ. And the reason the world hates those who follow Jesus Christ is because the world hated Jesus first. Remember, you remember us saying that? So that's a unique thing. So these are the things that have to be struggled with. And so if we're concerned now about whether or not we're going to make people feel bad about themselves, if we are saying, for instance, you know, we have to tell people to make, we got to make disciples, that's what we do. We have to tell people to turn from sinful ways and come to Jesus Christ. It becomes very difficult because you're hearing other voices within the church that are saying, these things are things that really shouldn't be concerned about. Am I making the case so far? Are you all tracking with me? And so, remember, the thing with the church is this. Not only do we meet together so that we can be centered on God's Word for our own personal benefit, but one of the reasons that we exist is because the world is reminded of its sin. And if you can pick that up last week, is exactly what we said. The fact that we meet together, the world is reminded of its sin, and the world doesn't like that. And the other true fact that they're both true, but the biggest fact we meet together is because we testify about Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so if we're testifying about Jesus Christ, it goes into further than just saying, I believe. It means that we are convicting, because of our presence, the world of its sin. So when, like I told you last week, I didn't live for the Lord for a long time. And so when I would get up on Sunday morning and I would drive down the road and I'd have to get to the highway to go to my next adventure, I would have to go past the church where all the people were, and I was somehow being reminded that I'm going to have to do something about the sin that I commit in my life. Y'all with me so far? So the work of the Holy Spirit then was going before other Christians and was reminding me of my need for Jesus Christ. And that before I get into the text, I will say this, it made me angry at God because I felt like he shouldn't have a problem with me. But he didn't. But I had a problem with him. Y'all following along with what I'm saying. And so we'll get into it. This text that we're going to be looking at this morning is in John chapter 16. It's right after where Jesus talks about the advocate, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And if you remember, he kept telling his disciples, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the Spirit. When I go to the Father, I will send the Spirit to you, and he will be your counselor. And so you have a little bit of the judicialness of God's kingdom in play here, because he's using the Spirit as almost like a defense attorney, but also a prosecutor, if you will. And so you can kind of pick up on this when you read the whole passage. And so this whole passage, we keep reminding ourselves that God prunes the vine, the branches on the vine, right? Remember, we talked about the cleansing that takes place. And so all of this is taking place, and this is all happening within the church. And so now we continue that thought, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 11 in chapter 16, and it says this, "All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong, in the wrong, about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. There's just so much in here. And it's just so tempting to just go line by line with you this morning, because it's just stuff that we just, it would be so good to be refreshed on. And so we're thinking about a people. Now keep in mind, I've been sharing with you, we're thinking about a group of people who think that they are the vine that Jesus is talking about. The Israelites, because they've been circumcised, right? They're thinking they're the vine. And so what they're saying then, what Jesus is saying, is that they're going to put people who follow him out of the synagogue. Did y'all pick up on that? There's going to be a certain amount of excommunication that is going to take place. And this is where we are dealing with two things now. And that's why it's so important. They think they're doing something for God, and so do those who follow Jesus Christ. You see how there can be two ends of it now. Opposite ends. So let's look at the first thing I want you to see. The Spirit's work before the church is to convict the world of sin. I feel like an old-time preacher because this is the second Sunday in a row that I've said sin. I've said sin from the pulpit. And it just seems so odd, but we're going with the text, right? And so maybe that's the problem in America. Maybe we need to be talking about sin a little bit more. But I'll tell you this, that what happens is when we Christians get together, I've told you in the past that Dallas Willard says that we preach the gospels of sin management. Now, remember, I told you earlier, I said, we are talking about Jesus Christ, who is the true vine, the one that is sinless, right? He is sinless. We're talking about him. And so what we're saying then, when we say gospels of sin management, we generally think in terms of those right actions and wrong actions. But remember, Jesus is the pure tree, right? He's the pure tree. That's where the purity is. We're supposed to be much like Jesus Christ. But we talk about the gospels of sin management within the church. And so we've narrowed it down. What we say is, well, you know, these things are sins. We really shouldn't do these. Used to, you would hear people say, well, the drinking and smoking, all this stuff that would be sin. And they would say these types of things. Or maybe stealing from somebody. That's sin. And that's generally what people majored on. But what Jesus seems to be saying here is something that's very important. And it goes with, for those of you who've been in our Bible study for Revelation, it goes hand in hand with the book of Revelation. Jesus says something very interesting. He goes, the world will be convicted of its sin because the world did not believe in me. Y'all with me? So now we Christians have to get to a place where we understand that when we think of sin, we're not talking about all these wrong and right actions that we do or we don't do, whatever it is, when we do the things that seem to be contrary to God's word. What we're talking about now is the idea that people have not believed in Jesus Christ. The world doesn't believe. Now, it's interesting because if the world doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, we're reminded that John is writing this gospel to us, those who are coming afterwards, so that we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so one of the things that you'll see in the Gospel of John several times over is Jesus is going to say, I have revealed you, Father, but they have not received me. They have rejected me because they haven't known me and they don't know you. Because remember, the Israelites at this point, they're thinking that they're God's people. They think this. But Jesus said, they don't know you. Only I know you. And in fact, they can know you if they know me. Are y'all picking up on the line of thinking here? So the sin then is that they have, that is that Jesus has been revealed, that God has been revealed through Jesus to all who were around him. He showed them, but they refused to believe. Now this is interesting because sometimes, if y'all remember the 1970s commercials when, was it Coca-Cola or Pepsi that they used to say, he's got the whole world in his hands. Remember all those commercials and everybody's just so full of love. We couldn't understand anybody who didn't believe in Jesus Christ. The only thing that we could comprehend was that maybe they just had never heard of him. But what's happening here is the world is being convicted of its sin by the Holy Spirit because they know who Jesus Christ actually is. They're rejecting him. In fact, some of you might know people personally where you talk about Jesus, and they might even tell you, at least if you're talking to somebody who was honest like I was before I was in a relationship with Jesus, I would just say things, I know who, I've heard of him, but I really don't want anything to do with him. That's what I would say. But sometimes people would say, well, yeah, I heard him. He's my Lord and Savior, but have nothing to do with him otherwise, right? Because they're not remaining rightly connected into the vine. They're not really being sons and daughters of the Father who is in heaven. And so what's happening then is that they're not believing because if they believe in him, then guess what happens? They have to believe what Jesus says. Are y'all following the line of thinking so far? If you believe what Jesus says, then you have to make him your Lord. I'm going to get to this again, but you have to make him your Lord. You can't have it both ways. Look at the next thing I want you to see. The Spirit's work before the church is to prove the world wrong about righteousness. So, it's interesting. Again, I go back to the Israelites again. They've been circumcised. This is a mark to demonstrate that you are got one of God's people in the Old Testament. This was it. This was your entrance. It's almost like baby or infant baptism, if you will. I mean, you're into God's kingdom as soon as you get circumcised. So they're thinking that they are God's people, but yet, when you go back to those passages of Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, they're doing nothing right towards each other. They're so selfish. In fact, they're more me-centered because remember, the Holy Spirit, remember what he does? He convicts the world of its sin. He convicts the world because of the unbelief because guess what? Really, what's at the center of the world is me, right? I don't receive Christ because I get to be my own God, if you will. And so that's what was happening to the Israelites. They were doing nothing right towards God or their neighbors. And so you have books of the prophets who are filled with this lack of justice that's going on in Israel's time, but yet they think that they are righteous before God. And so what they did is they started to establish this new way of life. They were no longer following Yahweh, right? They're no longer following him, but they're calling themselves children of God, because that's why Jesus had to say, look, I'm the true Son of God, not you, because I actually do what my Father tells me to do, right? But you think you're the vine. You're not the true vine. I'm the true vine. So they're actually saying that they're God's people, but they do nothing that God has told them, what he's commanded them to do. And so they start to look at themselves as righteous, But the problem is that if Jesus Christ is righteous, then his righteousness looks very different than theirs. So then the Holy Spirit begins to convict the world of its lack of righteousness. The world thinks that the righteousness that is acceptable is the type of righteousness where we take care of only ourselves. Hope you're all following. I feel like I'm throwing out all sorts of stuff right now. And I may be. But I just, remember, we're trying to get to the bottom of how I can be and you can be. It's not just whether or not Scott Usselman's right. Y'all with me? It's about whether or not we're connected rightly in the vine. How we can have such different viewpoints about what righteousness is in the church. Think about it. Sometimes we pray the prayer to receive Jesus Christ and somebody pronounces us righteous before the Lord. Now there was a guy, a long time ago, I used to read a lot of his books. His name was Richard S. Taylor. An old Nazarene theologian. And one of the things that he challenged me with was whether or not Jesus went to the cross so that he could change the way we behave because of sin, or whether or not he went there so he could change the way God looks at sin. Well, I'm just going to say that if God sent his son to take our place on the cross, he sure doesn't expect us to continue to be selfish and think we're righteous in our selfish ways. I'm going to say that Jesus gave his life on the cross not just to atone for the sin that we committed, but also to give us the grace to be able to establish a different righteousness in us. So Jesus now, with him going back to the Father, that what they understand is that the world is wrong about what right and wrong is. Because from the world's perspective, as long as we're going to feel like we're righteous, as long as we're listening or living by this tally mark check card, if you will, where if I do this many things that are right, I'm doing good, as long as I do a whole lot wrong less, a whole lot less, right? As long as I outweigh the wrong that I do, I should feel good. You know what that is? That's the Gospels of Sin Management again. Right? Because we're telling everybody, you can go ahead and do what you want to do because you're rightly connected in the vine, because God only sent his son to the cross so that God would change the way that he looked at the sin that we commit. Because the sin that you commit now, well, you're really righteous, but don't worry about it because Jesus already paid for that. Excuse me. Are you all tracking with me? Because the righteousness that Jesus demonstrated is wholly other-centered. It's not self-centered. I'm just going to stop for a second. You know what's destroying us as a people? Everybody thinks they can do whatever they feel like. I'm just being realistic here. You can't do it. Because if you do whatever you feel like and you're your own master and king, you're going to wreck somebody else's life around you. That's the way it is. That's why God says, look, believe in Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, then you'll believe Jesus. And if you'll look at the righteousness that Jesus established, which is other-centered, which is based off his love for us, if you have that same type of love in you, then guess what? You're going to be intentionally looking to do no harm to those who are around you. Because it's already been demonstrated. It can be done if you love God and love your neighbors, even your enemies, right? Because it's a whole different type of righteousness that's going on here. And the world is wrong about the righteousness that we're trying to establish. And you'll hear this in the church. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's saying the world is wrong about its sin and its righteousness. And the last thing is judgment. Look at the last thing I want you to see. The Spirit's work before the church is to prove the world wrong about judgment. I left the word wrong out. So what Jesus has done is that when he went and sat down at the right hand of the Father, because he was raised back to life after, because he's told the disciples, he said, look, I'm going away. What Jesus has done is, according to our text, he's removed Satan from having control over this world. You know, when I first got saved, I went to a church and people used to stand up and they'd say, the devil made me do it. Have you ever heard anybody say that? And it was like, I kept thinking to myself, I was new in the Lord. And I thought to myself, well, good grief. You're telling me that the devil still makes us do things that we don't want to do after we come to Jesus Christ? What was the use in coming? I mean, I had to ask the question. I would just think it to myself. And then I'd think, oh, I'm committing sin thinking like that. But I didn't know. I was like, good grief. I mean, surely we don't have to do everything the devil tells us to do. Well, we don't. Because the world doesn't realize that Jesus has unseated him. Y'all see what's happening here. So Jesus now is telling the Israelites, look, your selfish ways do not have to continue on. Your me-centeredness do not have to continue on because I'm already establishing God's kingdom here on earth already, but not yet. And it's being established by those who want to be branches, sons and daughters, rightly connected in the vine, because I'm the vine. Y'all with me? So that means that you have to believe that I am the Son of the living God. And if I'm the Son of the living God, then you have to believe what I've told you. And the righteousness, because of the cleansing that takes part in this vine, this church that you're connected to, the cleansing with the Word of God that takes place, that starts to purify you, it keeps you from being under the thumb of Satan, who has been unseated. He is not in charge of this world. I'm the one who is the king of this world. He's a liar. You see, when Jesus went to that cross, he freed you and I, if we would receive him, from the bondage of having to sin. That's what he did. And when we meet together, the world is reminded that it is off course. It's almost like a visual testimony to the world. Remember what I said? When I was driving to my next adventure, the Lord was speaking to me as I would go by the church, and I would think to myself, one of these days, I'm going to have to do something about this wrong life that I'm leading. But I knew, something inside of me knew, that it wasn't going to be interpreted along the lines of, well, as long as I go into that building and do what I'm told in there, that I can continue with the life that I'm leading now. I knew it didn't connect. There's going to have to be some purity there, right? Because the Holy Spirit was going before that church and was speaking to my mind and heart. Because as individuals, for you and I to come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has to be working beyond the building of this church or beyond the group of this people. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If it ever gets to a place where it's tough to tell people about Jesus Christ, especially in this new world righteousness that's taking place right now, where we're not allowed to make people feel bad about themselves, you and I are going to have to recognize when the Spirit is leading us to talk to someone to make disciples. And I'll tell you what, it's going to look something like this. You don't have to go and be brash to somebody, but it's going to look like something like this. When you hear somebody talking about Jesus or anything spiritual, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit has gone before you, and all that you need to do now is join him in what he's already doing in someone's life. We don't have to be obnoxious to them. I'm able to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and Clemson Tigers and drop that in a heartbeat when I recognize someone talking about Jesus Christ. Because I'm right, trying to be rightly connected in the vine, right? My effort goes to being rightly connected in the vine, and I'm reminded that I have to make disciples even in a world that's hostile towards the church. It doesn't matter. So the judgment that the world thinks, to me, what the world is saying is, look, you're being tried and convicted by the world's standard. Don't you believe it? Satan's been unseated, and God is the standard. Y'all with me? You're being watched from heaven by His standard. And it's right here where we learn what His standard is. Because here's what we do. If what I'm saying sounds different than what you're thinking, it's okay to disagree in the Lord. And not everybody's perfect. We're not all perfect. I'd love to say that I'm the only one that's right, but we all know better than that, right? We all know better than that. And I'd love to say that this church is the only one that's right. Well, we know better than that too, don't we? But here's where we measure the truth at. Because if we have an idea of what the Holy Spirit looks like and what He does, then we'll be able to gauge if the same Spirit is in us that acts like that, and if He's in someone else that acts like what we see in Scripture. This morning, you might be somebody who's thinking to yourself, well, I think Pastor Scott is losing it. Well, maybe. But I'm just going with what I'm reading, right? We're looking at the times that we're living in. There's a lot of misinformation out there. We have to be aware of it. But I can tell you this, the Spirit's job and our job joining the Holy Spirit is to prove the world wrong about its rejection of who Jesus Christ is. I'm thankful to be connected to Jesus Christ. His way is truly the best way. And the world doesn't want to see that. But Jesus' way of life is best for everyone in this world if they'll just take it. If you're somebody this morning that thinks that my righteousness sounds, that I'm talking about from Scripture, sounds too harsh, read Scripture again yourself. Remember what we were saying a minute ago? I mean, if the devil's making you do stuff, then your righteousness isn't really righteous, right? It means that you're living in the wrong kingdom. You're just living in the wrong place. Your righteousness needs to look a lot like Jesus's. Because we're seeing Jesus in Scripture, we try to duplicate what we see Jesus do. Because we believe He's the Son of God. And if you're somebody this morning that thinks that what I'm saying is crazy, look, the model prayer with the judgment issue, we already know that Jesus is the King of Kings. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. If you go to Revelation or any of these other passages, you find out that Jesus is the King of the universe. He's the one that we follow. We follow Him. We may not see Him, right? Like He told the disciples, but we follow Him. And because we follow Him, it creates adversity within the world, and the world will not like us. But we still try to love them, don't we? What would happen if we could get this together and everybody get on the same page and we start operating, following the Spirit who looks like this, and we start remaining rightly connected in the vine? I think a lot of our issues that we face and the things that we're afraid of in the next couple of years even begin to diminish and begin to become irrelevant to us because we're more focused on remaining rightly connected. So right now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, understand that this is one of those times, that one of those passages where it may require us to make a little bit stronger than commitment than what we're used to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm going to see it through to the end with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're reminded of your word this morning, and we just sit and think about what Jesus told his disciples, and we're just really stunned, Lord. And sometimes we recognize that even we do, Lord. I know personally, it's easy for me to get off track. It's easy for me to wander away a little bit. But Lord, it's your word that brings me back center. And I pray, Father, that for those who are within the sound of my voice and those who may watch this online, Lord, that this word from the book of John, Lord, your word, would recenter us and bring us back into being rightly connected to you. Help us not to be confused or tempted to follow the ways of the world, Lord. Help us to stay the course with you. Now, Father, I pray that you would go with us and bring us back again safely Wednesday and Sunday, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen.